very good day to you all. Welcome to Marca's Eye on La Liga, a little bit extra, as we're going to have a look back at the midweek action for the Spanish clubs as Real Madrid fall to Valencia. Unbelievable that they would succumb to Voro's side, even in the Mestalla. And of course, Sevilla picking up an excellent 2-1 victory against Leicester City in the Champions League, but have Leicester just open the door slightly with Jamie Vardy's away goal of Sampaoli's side. Not quite done enough to see the tie-off just yet. And of course, the Valencia-Real Madrid result sends us into a very entertaining weekend indeed, as Villarreal take on Los Blancos on Sunday. But before that, Atletico Madrid take on Barcelona. And one of Marca's experts has already said that he doesn't feel that Barca have enough to beat Atleti, who were superb in the Champions League against Bayer Leverkusen. Joining me, Ollie Wilson, as always, are two of Marca's finest minds that we can find. First on the line, Simon Harrison. Simon, how you doing, mate? Very eager on the line today, I imagine. Up and nice and early for this one.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure to be on, and after last night, I mean, it's quite hard to sleep when there's such entertaining football going on, isn't it?
Yeah, you get the adrenaline rush slightly of a bit of excitement, and it's hard to shut the eyes and go to bed. How about yourself, Ewan McTeer, joining us on the line as well, mate? That was a very entertaining evening of football at the Mestalla last night.
Yeah, the Mestalla, and then by the time you cut your breath, switched over and saw much the same at Pijuan. So yeah, if they could just have two games in a row every Wednesday night, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, although I don't think families, friends and loved ones would be too happy about it, just glued to the TV, I have to say.
No.
Let's talk about then Sampaoli's side at the Pizjuan against Leicester City. And I mean, I was very adamant on the podcast earlier in the week that Leicester had no chance in this one, considering the way they've been in the Premier League and considering how Sampaoli's side have been in La Liga this year. Are you surprised that we saw a little bit of fight, a little bit more fight from Leicester than perhaps many were expecting? Or are you a little bit frustrated that Sampaoli's side didn't see it off, of course, with the missed penalty as well, but they have that 2-1 lead on aggregate going back to Leicester for the second leg next month?
Well, I think after an hour, I was expecting Sevilla to have kind of gone on to be sort of 4 or 5-0 up. They really could have killed the tie-off. I mean, Leicester didn't really get going in the first half at all. It could have been 4 by the half-time break, potentially. Obviously, Correa missed that penalty. And the penalty miss could prove to be quite key, really. For me, Ranieri's side didn't really come up with too much before Vardy's goal. I thought it was good work from Drinkwater in the build-up. But ultimately, they were poor. And I think Sampaoli, you could kind of see when the cameras would look to him in the stands, he'd be looking to almost kick the window through of the booth that he was sat in. And I think that spoke volumes of the fact that Sevilla really could have just absolutely destroyed Leicester and left them with no real chance at the King Power. And they just couldn't seem to do it.
Yeah, I'm not really a stats man per se, but Sevilla outshooting Leicester 10-1 last night at one point. And really, if it wasn't for Kasper Schmeichel, this could have been done and dusted, Ewan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's probably the worst realistic result Sevilla could have hoped for, because if you assume that Leicester weren't going to get a draw or a win there, which I think I was and a lot of people were, then 2-1 is about as tight as you could leave this tie. I mean, as Simon pointed out, I mean, they could have won the match by far more, and I think it played out the way many people expected. Sevilla dominated an attack, they created a lot of chances. And then Jamie Vardy hits them with a goal, you know, a sucker punch when Leicester looked on the ropes. And it was a bit surprising that Sampaoli allowed that to happen, because when the draw was made, this was the kind of observation most people were making, that be careful of Leicester, because when you think you've got them in attack and you've 1-0 up, you think you're going to get the second and the third coming very soon, that's when they hit you and that's when they push you back. So yeah, I don't think it was a great result for Sevilla. Obviously, it's always good to win, but now they have to go away to Leicester, who have been good at home in the Champions League this season, and they probably have to score at least once.
And of course, Sevilla then taking on Real Betis as well on the weekend. I mean, it's a tough one for Sampaoli's side suddenly, and it was all set up very nicely when he had the draw, and about the time of the draw, there was, of course, the discussion that they could be the second side in Spanish football this season and perhaps push Real Madrid for the title. It's just started to slip away slightly. You just feel, perhaps, though, that Sampaoli, being the manager that he is, they're probably going to take out a fair bit of frustration on Betis on the weekend.
Yeah, I think, obviously, it's going to be a tough game either way, and the form book kind of goes out of the window with these kind of derby games. Betis have been very good at home. I mean, Sevilla, underneath Emery, you'd think that this would be a huge, huge test. With their away form wasn't fantastic, obviously. And Betis, they're playing... I think they're playing better under Victor Sanchez than under Gus Poyet. I think they've got more of a plan. They're a bit more solid at the back. They've got a few players maybe coming back into the frame that really deserved it, that weren't given the chance earlier on in the campaign. So obviously they've got Dani Ceballos, who's getting more of a starting place. He's back this week. And they've also got, I think, Ruben Pardo's a great signing for them too. So I think that they've probably strengthened over the January window, and everything's a little bit more positive. And with the atmosphere and the fans getting behind in what is such obviously a huge game, like one of the biggest games in Spanish football, it's going to be tough for Sevilla to kind of motivate themselves, pick them back up, because they looked like they'd lost after the game against Leicester, to be honest. Obviously it was a 2-1 win, but they were walking around like they were just wondering how on earth they hadn't managed to absolutely trounce the Foxes. And it's not the best situation to be going into with Betis improving under Victor Sanchez, but you would think that just on paper they should have enough to wriggle through and get a result in what's going to be one of the fiercest atmospheres we're going to see this season.
It was certainly a result, as you mentioned, that Sevilla should have dominated in, perhaps. I was a little surprised Ben Yedder we didn't see coming off the bench, although they didn't really struggle with attacking options in that game against Leicester. Let's talk about the game that preceded that, though. Let's talk about Valencia against Real Madrid. And again, we said on the podcast, it depends which Valencia side shows up under Voro. They've been the good, the bad and the ugly at times under their new manager. But my goodness, that was a good start. Two goals in the opening 10 minutes and such direct football. And Simone Zaza's finish as well. You just felt there was something a little special in the air last night, didn't you, at the Mestalla after that early start from them?
Yeah, they really filled it well, as considering what an early kickoff time it was. And it was a good atmosphere there, as it always is when one of the big teams come to town. And yeah, they've now given Atletico Madrid, Barcelona and Real Madrid all a good game at home this season, whereas some of the smaller teams have got away, they've got off the hook a little bit at the Mestalla. So they really get up for these big occasions, and they did so against Real Madrid, and they started fantastically with those Zaza. I mean, that Zaza goal was brilliant, and Orellana running through on the counter-attack. And perhaps the most interesting thing about this match is that when it was originally scheduled to be played in December, when Real Madrid were at the Club World Cup, those two goal scorers weren't at Valencia, and Valencia were in even more of a mess than they are just now. They're still not fully safe. So if Real Madrid played them in December, it could have turned out a lot more a lot more positively for the league leaders. So they'll be a little bit concerned that this game in hand slipped them by, and it could be a similar case with that Celta Vigo one. Again, when they play that, Vigo could be a bit stronger than they would have been when they were supposed to play it and they were going to field a weakened team. So, yeah, these two games in hand, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the pod, that these weren't two simple games in hand where you can just automatically score in those 3 points. These were ones you had to earn, and they didn't.
There's been criticism about Zidane and his approach to the game last night. What did you make of the idea of James, Benzema and Ronaldo as the front three? Obviously Bale not quite back to full fitness, not able to really start, but other options were there instead of perhaps James Rodriguez, who's had criticism and probably isn't naturally in that kind of front three as a player himself. It was a slightly odd one at times from Zidane.
Well, it was just frustrating to see how their approach didn't really evolve too much throughout the game. Obviously, they were put in that terrible position early on, and there was just something lacking. And I thought that, obviously, last week with Isco getting the two assists against Espanyol, and with how congested Valencia were making the edge of the penalty area. I mean, Varro said before the game he didn't want to sit deep, but they ended up not really having a choice. They kind of had to dig in for the result. And at times, it was just predictable stuff, really. Carvajal and Marcelo obviously got forward a lot. They put a lot of crosses into the box, and with Ronaldo scoring that header, that's the 15th time they've scored a headed goal. And it was very, very direct. It made Garay and Mangala look far better than they are, I think. They were extremely good in the air. Even João Cancelao was digging in defensively and really contributing when he would be, you would think, a lot more effective higher up the pitch. And it was just a case of Valencia kind of funnelling Real Madrid wide. A lot of balls into the box. obviously a little bit of good goalkeeping from Diego Alves sprinkled in, but I think the game kind of was crying out for someone like Isco or Asensio or whoever it may be, that mould of player, to kind of make things a little bit more interesting in and around the box, because for long periods, the movement wasn't really there. Modric would be carrying the ball forward from the midfield third, and there wouldn't be really a great deal going on ahead of him, aside from Ronaldo looking to sort of instinctively pick out these little pockets of space and make these little runs that he's been making for all of his career. So it's a strange one, obviously, with then taking off Modric in the second half to throw another attacker into the mix. Obviously, Zidane was going for the equaliser, as you would be. But there just seemed to be a bit of a lack of direction, really.
Yes, some surprising decisions from Zidane during that one. But it all leads us into Villarreal on the weekend. And that's another tough one for Real Madrid. And suddenly there's a real opportunity for Barca, if they can get this result against Atletico, to close the gap now. Villarreal, of course, in a continental action this week as well against Roma. But they're done and dusted in that. You'd expect them to be resting plenty and to be going into Real Madrid looking to cause a really big upset.
Yeah, they're going to say all the right things about how you never know, you could always make a comeback against Roma, but they've never won in Italy, never mind 4-0. So I think they realistically are writing that one off and are going to focus for this big Sunday night game, which by that point Barcelona could be top of the league if they beat Atletico. So all the pressure could be on Real Madrid all of a sudden. And Villarreal are, you know, this was supposed to be the tricky game of the week. Valencia was, you know, you never want to underestimate Valencia, but Villarreal was the one people most fans were worried about. And yeah, the pressure's on for this one. Villarreal still have the best defence in La Liga, and it's, if they couldn't break down Valencia with 80 minutes and with Valencia sitting back quite deep, it's going to be even trickier against Villarreal. So yeah, this is an exciting one to finish off this weekend.
Yeah, I wonder if Madrid will adopt that kind of high press that they had against Valencia for a lot of the first half, especially last night, and it really didn't pay off. There was so much space in the direct football, particularly to start in the opening 10 minutes, that led to the two goals, really split open that Real Madrid defence, and they looked very weak at times, with sometimes Varane pushing a little too far up the pitch. And of course, the big game on the weekend is Atletico against Barcelona as well. Let's just quickly cover that one before we run out of time here on the extra show. In terms of Atleti's chances of doing over Barca, this is arguably the best time for Simeone's side. In terms of a title race, I'm sure the Spanish neutral fan wants to see Barca get one over Atleti. Is there any chance for Atleti to pull themselves back into some sort of a title race if they can get themselves a victory against Barca this weekend? And how do you guys see this one playing out? I'll start with you, Simon.
Well, I would be extremely pessimistic about their chances to get back into the title race, but that doesn't mean that they can't have a big effect on it over the coming months. I think really, realistically, they should be looking to kind of tie up a third place finish, but it's going to be tough given how well Sevilla have been doing. But I do think that Barca are really going to struggle to win at the weekend. Obviously, the performance against Leganés was abject at best, I'd say, and Atleti are kind of picking up pace a little bit. There seems to be real chemistry and understanding between Griezmann and Gamero. And if they're given the space in behind that Leverkusen gave them in the Champions League, then really this could be any scoreline. The criticisms surrounding Barca are probably at their highest under Luis Enrique, I would probably suggest. And it's just a really tough fixture at a really bad time for Barcelona. And I think that Diego Simeone's men can probably take full advantage of that.
I mean, Atleti were fantastic against Leverkusen. You mentioned the space that they had. But Barca will know how to play this Atletico side perhaps a little better than Leverkusen did in the Champions League. And obviously, the approach to League and Cup are always going to be slightly different. With Atleti, Ewan, do you expect them to be a little more expansive this weekend? You know, whenever they play, obviously, at the Camp Nou, they very much close down the 18-yard box and try and just smother Barcelona in the final third and hit on the counter. Do you expect it to be a little more open and aggressive, especially with Barca's weaknesses and that reliance of everybody else, it seems, to kind of say to the front three, you go and do the job for us at Barca? There's a midfield that's very much weak and able to be hit suddenly by this Atleti side.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what Simeone does here, because in the first two games this season where they played Barcelona in the league, which was 1-1, and then the first leg of the Cup, they did exactly what you mentioned, where they sit back on the edge of the box and try to just, you know, win the ball deep and hit in the counter-attack. But But with the second leg, when they needed a big result, they had to go and score two at the Camp Nou. They sort of really went for Barcelona, really attacked Barcelona, and they should have won that game. They should have been able to turn that tie around. They were fantastic in that second leg. So I wonder if Simeone's now thinking that maybe pressing Barca a bit higher up the pitch, if maybe really going for them, attacking a bit earlier in the match rather than just sitting back and waiting, trying to suss them out a little bit, which is sort of what they did at Leverkusen. You sort of, in the past in the Champions League, what Atletico have done is they've kind of just let the 20 minutes just play out with nothing really happening just until they sort of get an idea for what their opponent is trying to do in that particular night. Whereas in this one, it was different. They just hit them straight from the off, and that's what they did in that second leg of the cup. And it worked really well for them, so it'd be quite interesting to see if he decides to go a little bit more attacking, and you either live or die by that one, because if they do get a goal and they make things difficult for Barcelona, Barcelona could collapse, but if Messi pops up with a counter-attack on the other end and scores one, then it can very quickly be 3 or 4-0. So, he has nothing to lose, really. I mean, like Simon says, it would be really, really tough for them to pull themselves back into the title race, and they are going for third, but even if they lose this match, they've still got a good chance of reaching Sevilla. So this is almost like a bonus game for them. If they get a result, great. If they don't, I mean, no one's going to be too surprised given their record against Barcelona. So I wouldn't be too shocked if Simeone goes a bit more offensive-minded for this one. But then we know not to be, never to predict Simeone.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a catch-22 as well for Atletico Madrid in terms of they beat Barca. It's an excellent win, last game against Barcelona in the Vicente Calderón. But if they do beat Barca, then they help their crosstown rivals Real Madrid in terms of their hopes in the title race. So, it'd be interesting to see how Atleti and Simeone approach that game on Sunday. And Ewan, I'm sure you're very happy to see that Eibar are top billing on the Saturday night with their game against Malaga. We've also got the Seville derby, as we mentioned earlier, as well on Saturday. And then the big games at the top of the table with Atleti taking on Barca about 3 o'clock UK time on Sunday afternoon. And then it's all wrapped up with Villarreal against Real Madrid as the final game on Sunday night. Gents, thank you so much for joining us quickly on the show today. And I look forward to chatting with you boys on Monday about the weekend's action.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Yeah, looking forward to it. A pleasure to be on as always.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much. Remember to get on to marca.com/EN, marca.com/EN to see more from Simon and Ewan with their wonderful written words. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter @MarcaInEnglish, @MarcaInEnglish, and get onto Audioboom or onto iTunes and subscribe and follow the podcast. Have a very good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the football. It's been a thrilling midweek. And imagine if Villarreal did turn round a 4-0 deficit against Roma this evening. That would just top it all off. We might have to do another 15 minutes on that tomorrow if that happens. In the meantime, enjoy the football on the weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday. Have a good one.